Okay. My name is Lauren Robinson, and today is Monday, November 27th, 2017. I will be interviewing Chantal Ortiz for a Hurricane Harvey oral history project over the phone in Corpus Christi, Texas. Do I have your consent to record this conversation? Hello?
I'm here.
Do I have your consent to record?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. So we're just going to kind of jump right into it. I know you probably have things to do. So the first question is, did you or have you ever experienced a hurricane before Harvey?
No.
No. Okay. So do you live here in Corpus Christi?
No, I do. I used to live in Rockport, but I was displaced by the hurricane.
Okay. How long did you live in Rockport?
My whole life, with the exception of the semesters I went to college and undergrad.
And how old are you?
I'm 25.
25. And how did you first hear about Hurricane Harvey?
I'm pretty good about keeping up with the news, so I had heard about it coming in. Once it was projected to hit the Gulf Coast, I just didn't think it was going to be directly at Rockport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because at first it was looking like it was going to hit Corpus Christi, and then it kind of turned.
Yeah.
So when you found out it was, because it kind of, I know keeping up with the news as well and everything, it kind of looked like it turned there towards the last few hours. Did you end up evacuating?
I wasn't going to, but the day before the hurricane broke, they issued a mandatory evacuation. So we ended up evacuating at Corpus Christi.
Where did you come? Where were y'all evacuated when you came to Corpus?
With an uncle.
Oh, with family?
Yes.
Wow. So how did you prepare? Once y'all knew y'all were going to evacuate, what did you do to prepare for your home and everything?
Well, we actually own 3 rental properties. And so as soon as I found out that it was a mandatory evacuation, I was still at work. Mm-hmm. So I asked our GFO if I could leave because they didn't want to let anyone leave. We had to move boxes up and get the business ready. And mostly everyone from Corpus where I work, but I was part of the, I think I was actually the only one from Rockport. So I asked if I could leave, and they said that was fine. So I rushed home, and I started pulling out plywood to board up the windows for our tenant. And then I went inside, and my parents were being stubborn. They wanted to ride out the hurricane, and they kept, you know, saying it wasn't their first hurricane, it wasn't their first tropical storm. I was being dramatic. But I finally convinced them to leave. And so they all just packed a couple of changes of clothes. I packed my computer, my Apple Watch, my charger, my makeup, and I brought a folder with important documents like my birth certificate and social security card and stuff. And for them, I just, you know, they didn't want to evacuate, so they didn't want to take anything. I just demanded that they take their important documents.
Mm-hmm. And when you say your parents were being stubborn, what experience had they had prior to this as far as hurricanes and tropical storms?
They have had a couple of tropical storms, Category 1 or 2. So I think they thought that they knew what was coming, but obviously they didn't, and neither did I, because even though I, like, went and taped all of the windows and plywooded some windows up. The storm was so strong that all of the windows busted out and all of the doors knocked out. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was really nothing that you could really do to prepare for a storm that size. Like, all of our houses are total losses.
So, what was it like? When were you able to go back to see the damage?
So that night at my uncle's house, I remember it was so loud, and I tried to sleep through it. I only had a little bit of power on my phone, but I was checking Facebook, watching the storm chasers. There were storm chasers from all over the country in Little Rockport. And I remember checking my social media accounts, watching their live videos of them panning right and left, looking at the destruction in Rockport. And so I kind of expected, you know, the worst, just seeing what they were able to see when they got out in the eye of the storm. So in the morning, we still had not power, but I called the Nueces County Police Department. And I asked them if they had blocked off the bridge to get into Rockport. Mm-hmm. And the man said, as far as I know, no. So I begged my uncle, because he had a truck. Me and my parents and I, we have smaller cars, to drive us out there to go assess the damage. Mm-hmm. And we left in the morning, and as I was driving to Rockport, we passed the bridge. And then we passed Portland, and there were literally no cars. That's how early we got up to go up. But you just saw, like, you know, the damage as you were going into Portland. And then as we were passing around, the past, it got worse. And then Rockport, we exited from my house. And it got worse, like, seeing RVs just basically crumpled, houses just completely demolished. You know, these places that I see every single day, just destroyed. So as we were coming up to our house on the highway, I see the two-story home I grew up, which is pretty tall, it's pretty big, and the whole top of it is gone. So as we pulled in, I got off and I ran down the driveway passing my houses, and it was clear that they were all gone. And then I ran into the house that I was living in, and there was piles of debris everywhere. And I was seeing, you know, all of my college books and my clothes, and everything was just wet and just covered in plywood and insulation. And it was probably the most scariest feeling I've felt in my life.
Wow. What is the house like? Was it just a total loss? I mean, are y'all going to be able to do anything to fix it, or is it just a complete loss?
One house was insured, the other three were not. Those houses supplemented the mortgage. So we've been blessed with a lot of help from organizations that have come to help us clean up. The cleanup part is very expensive, just as the building part is, but the SBA is offering loans out. And so we're just being hopeful that the government will come through and allow us to rebuild, since we don't have the finances to do that. Mm-hmm.
And you said the SBA?
SBA, Small Business Association. Okay.
So as far as... is that the only government organization that y'all are getting help from as of right now?
Yes. We applied for FEMA, but we didn't qualify for it because the house we were living in was insured, so it automatically defaults to the SBA for the other three. Mm-hmm. It was our primary business, but it's up to them if they'll be able to finance us to get our houses fixed. Wow. Yeah, so it's just a waiting game. And I know the rest of my community is we're all kind of having issues hearing back from them on whether or not they'll be able to help us. I think there's some statistics online, but there's a small percentage that have actually been helped by the SBA. So it's kind of scary, but we just have to be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I'm so sorry. I mean, I can't even imagine what you and your family in that community is going through. But I have to say, I mean, you sound optimistic. I really hope that help comes through for you.
Thank you. And you know, whenever I was running, when I first saw the house that I was living in destroyed, I remember, you know, my mom is a polio survivor and my dad is blind. So my sister and I have kind of assumed, I guess, the parenting role when helping them and stuff. Mm-hmm. We've always been able to be there for them. We've worked hard to where we can help them. And I'm very young, but I try to, you know, be there for them as much as I can. Mm-hmm. But when I ran to the house that all of our stuff was in that we were living in, I remember it was so quiet. My hurricane had literally just hit, so you could hear alarms going off, and it was so eerie and so quiet. And I remember just falling to my knees and crying and screaming so loud that I was echoing. And I think I had felt so much fear initially, just not knowing. I just honestly feeling like I couldn't. I mean, where do I start? What do I do? Mm-hmm. But I think the outpouring of love from our community, from different organizations, it made me feel like I wasn't alone. Like, we had the A&M Kingsville basketball team there that Saturday afterwards, and there was about 30 of them. And those men, I mean, there were huge, they were tall, they gutted, I mean, like, they clean up and helped throw away so much rotted wood and stuff. They probably did it in about 3 hours, and then, you know, we saw the Samaritan's Purse come out, family come out and give them themselves, and you know, it's like, it really is true when people say that the most horrible experiences bring out experiences that you are humbled by and you feel real love. I mean, I've never felt love from strangers, and it helped me kind of decide and realize what kind of neighbor I need to be in my community. And so since then, you know, I've tried to volunteer more, and I've tried to be there for people that I don't know and people that I do know. Because I think in trials you find out who you are and who the people you surround yourself with are.
Mm-hmm. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, sorry, I thought I lost you. Wow. So speaking of, so you had the TAMUCC, the men's basketball team come out, that's correct?
A&M Kingsville.
Oh, Kingsville.
Yes. And so the funny story behind that is I went to a TAMUCC with a girl. I mean, we were friends, but we weren't close. And she had gotten word about my houses, and she's an athletic coordinator at Kingsville. So, after the hurricane, she was sitting with her coach, and her coach said, "Did you see all of this? Like, we have to do something. We have to help." And, you know, she told them, I have a friend that's been affected by Hurricane Harvey, and they days after the storm hit, mm-hmm. they were there, and I didn't know them, but I felt like I knew them afterwards, the amount of heart they put into cleaning everything up, and I was just overwhelmed.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, that they would come together. I mean, and it's like you said, I think it's a beautiful thing what you said. And times like this is when, you know, you see that outpouring of community and love and support. And it's, you know, under the circumstances, you know, it's tragedy. But to see that kind of support is, it's incredible.
Yes. And the coastal bend is truly resilient because I'm not sure, and I would hate to speculate that other areas that have experienced natural disasters maybe didn't experience the same resiliency, but from what I heard, yeah, there are a lot of organizations that typically help out with natural disasters that were in my town. And one thing that they were all saying is that the South Texas hospitality and the way people were helping people was truly unique and evident. Mm-hmm. And we weren't the same organizations in my town from Texas or from the Gulf Coast. We were seeing them from out of state, from Louisiana, from Alabama, from Arkansas, from all over the country. Mm-hmm. South Dakota, it was just insane, and I was also very amazed at how quickly our local, state, and federal government was acting. So I'm not too sure if I can still say that now, because there's still a lot of work to be done. I know Governor Abbott is still working very hard, but we still have a lot of work to do, and I know it's also an appropriation of funds, but you know, there's Rockport is still in a really terrible shape, so I'm hoping that they continue to provide resources for people to rebuild their homes or their small businesses.
So you had mentioned right now you're staying in Corpus. Are you and your family, are y'all staying with your uncle right now?
No, and this is what I'm talking about with the outpouring of love. And it's, so I have a really big family, mm-hmm. and it makes me so sad because it sucks because these things help you realize, but I had a cousin, and he's my immediate cousin, like he's my distant relative, but I just haven't kept in touch with him because, you know, you get in the routine of life, and you only keep in touch with certain family members. But he actually had a beautiful vacant two-story home in Corpus. Mm. And so without hesitation, he offered it up to my family and I, and said that's where we are now. But it's like, I think that through these experiences, you have to remember what kind of family you are. And, you know, in the end, that's your family, and they're going to be there for you, and you should be there for them too, you know?
Mm-hmm. And as far as you're currently a graduate student here at TAMUCC, correct?
Yes.
What has this support been like? I mean, obviously, I know Kingsville with the basketball team, that was amazing. What has your experience been like coming back to school? Has it been, are you finding, you know, it's got to be so overwhelming with everything else you have going on in your life. And I know firsthand grad courses are no joke. So has it been challenging for you coming back, or do you find, is it kind of like a release maybe?
I was worried about that because I really want to finish. I knew that it would be a huge accomplishment if I did finish, you know, given the circumstances.
Yeah.
I've had a pretty turbulent year, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after the storm hit, school was about to start, and I was like, well, dang, what am I going to do? Like, I didn't have access to internet. I think I was 2 weeks late to my first class. But I remember people still working, you know, and it just was like, they posted something on Facebook, and it was like, we just assessed the damage, the university looks great, we'll see everyone. It was something along the lines, just saying that the university was in okay condition.
Mm-hmm.
And I had replied, well, that's great that y'all are, you know, okay, but what about your students and surrounding communities? What are you going to do for them? And immediately, Kelly Quintanilla reached out through her office and said that teachers would be working closely with students to help make sure that that school isn't something that would be difficult to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, she can say that, but how are you going to do that? Well, I had those student engagement people calling me once a week or once or twice a week to check and see how I was doing, if I needed anything. And I think during that time, I was very proud to be an Islander, just because it's easy to say you're going to do something, but to actually do it. And, you know, all of my professors knew that I had been a victim before I'd even gotten there. And, you know, they talked to me and they let me know, whatever we can do to help you get through the semester, let us know and just keep us updated. And I did have to drop one class just because the other one required extensive reading, and I have so much going on right now with the storm.
Mm-hmm.
So I work full-time too, but the class I stayed in, my professor, Toby Fruchel, she's one of those professors that you have to have respect for. Mm-hmm. And put 100% in, but she also comes from a great place of understanding, and she's helped me stay motivated through the semester. Now, as far as extracurricular, I'm not sure what A&M Corpus is doing proactively out in the community to help rebuild. I haven't really seen much, but it would be nice to see them, you know, out there lending a helping hand.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's still, I like how you said you've made you proud to be an Islander. As far as Dr. Quintanilla and the student engagement reaching out, I think that's pretty good. That's pretty, you know, that's incredible.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I think we just about covered everything in that. Throughout that, is there anything else you can remember about this experience, or anything else that you would want to be known in this interview?
Just not to take natural disasters lightly, and to always be well versed in preparation. And preparation doesn't necessarily mean like what you have at your house for a hurricane, or know how to tape a window, or what would you take if you were to evacuate. I think people need to be well versed, and even if they're not homeowners, at least for their parents, just knowing your insurance documents and what the laws and regulations are, and just understanding that, because I think it's something we overlook, but a lot of people I know got burned because they weren't attentive to those types of things. And also just to be a good neighbor in your community and always be a good family member, because you never know when something like this can happen.
I did have one more question for you.
Yeah.
Because Mimi Beard is the one who put us in contact. She had mentioned that you've done a national interview, and I was wondering, how and why you agreed to do that, and who was it for?
I've actually done quite a bit. Well,
Oh.
my undergrad is in communications, so I have a lot of friends I've made in college that are successful now. And so one of the CNN correspondent, it was my former classmate. Her name is Amanda Jackson. She had heard about my houses and reached out. And originally, I didn't want to do it because the media isn't always your friend, and I was just nervous. But I wanted to shine a light on my community, and we're so tiny that my worst fear was that we were going to get forgotten. And of course, you hear about, Hurricane Katrina and how that was handled, and my biggest fear was that little Rockport or little Port Aransas, little Oregon Pass would get overlooked. So I did the CNN interview. So that aired. And then I also went to school with the brand development director at the CVB. And so she did a documentary that aired for the United Chamber of Commerce. I think the reason why I agree to do these things is because it's important that we don't lose momentum. Much work to do, and if I can't, if there are some people that may not have the connections or the resources to shine a light on the current situation, I feel like as a resident of Rockport, a former resident, somebody that's very passionate about the town and preserving its culture and its beauty, that's the least I can do is tell my story so that maybe we can continue to get aid rendered over there. And I think that this project was important to me too that you're doing, because it's important not to forget about this. And the funniest thing is before this hurricane hit, I was reading about Hurricane Celia probably for about an hour or 2 hours. And I think that what you're doing is helping because you never know, in 30 years, somebody might need to do some reading or some research on it, before the storm hits, and they can understand a little about what someone might have been feeling at that time.
Definitely. Just to backtrack a minute, you kind of broke up. You said you did the interview, your friend worked for CBD. Okay. Okay, Chantal, I think I have everything that we were looking for. Oh,
To get this
no.
interview. As you can hear, my voice is still gone, but it's a lot better than what it was.
Yeah, no, I'm so incredibly grateful, and I'm sure you're kind of tired of hearing people, just say how sorry they are, but I mean, it's just,
I'm appreciative, and I am so grateful that I get to be a part of the university that has a great program. Y'all are proactively taking the time to get these interviews and file them. It's so important. History is so important because if we don't have it, we can't learn.
Exactly.
And so I just applaud you guys for what y'all are doing.
Thank you so much, Chantal. And I hope everything comes through for you, and I hope you and your family come out of this stronger. And I
Oh,
just,
for sure.
yeah.
And if you need anything at all, or if you have any other questions, feel free to call me, okay?
Okay, thank you, Chantal. I really, really appreciate it.
Of course, Lauren. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, thank you. Be safe.
You too.
Bye.